Why is this book, so maligned, rejected, and ridiculed, always so relevant? Why does carnal academia find it so necessary to cast off its words as so much rubbish and to stigmatize its adherents as illiterate, easily led rubes? Why is a book written thousands of years ago the only opposition to darkness? Why is this book evolution's only credible enemy? And why do they dodge and hide from its incredible light? This book is the Holy Bible. It is not printer's ink and paper, but spirit and truth. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus is captured on its pages. And when your eyes and your heart interact with its words, life, abundant life, is in the offing. This book is the person of God and his Godhead. Revelation 19:13 speaks of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, and says, and his name is called the Word of God. God creates all things with the word of his power, and his word is found in Jesus of Nazareth. The book and its words are not a what, but a who. Words are life or death, and we choose. Which ones we choose will define our lives and dictate our eternities. Which book, which words will you choose? If you have yet to settle this issue, choose Christ today. Today can be your day of salvation, surely the best day of your life. Today all your sin and shame and bondage can be dissolved and washed away. Today can be your day of a brand new beginning. The results are eternal. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the marvelous kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Genesis 2:19 and 20, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. God said, Genesis 11:1-9, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Man said, biblical fairy tales like God creating man 6,000 years ago intact with a full vocabulary, or the Tower of Babel and man's one common language, are deserving of scorn. No one with a modicum of intellect would yield to such foolishness. Now the record. I need to know this Holy Bible is true and reliable. Literally everything depends on it. Thank you for coming. This is God Said, Man Said, feature 795, that will, for the 795th time, prove that God's word is true and righteous altogether. All of these glorious features are archived here in text and streaming audio for the edification of the blood-bought and as ammunition in the battle for the souls of men. Every Thursday eve, God willing, they grow by one. May God's beautiful face shine upon you and yours with the revelation of excellent things. Everyone needs to settle the issue for themselves. The great prophet Elijah said to the children of Israel in 1 Kings 18:21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. It's high time to settle the issue. Why do they always end up here? Struggle as they will, they keep circling back to the starting point. God said, man said, readers will remember the feature genetic biology in 6,000 years again. Check out these paragraphs. Is the Bible true? Is the earth truly only 6,000 years old? Does extra biblical information confirm it? In the September 2012 issue of Acts and Facts, science writer Brian Thomas wrote concerning the age of man and the earth under the title, A Recent Explosion of Human Diversity. Several paragraphs follow. Everyone should know that the cosmos was created. It also stands to reason that those who listen to Moses and the prophets, as Jesus said, should be able to see more specific evidence of biblical creation, including scientific discoveries. One such evidence is human genetic diversity, which leaves evolutionary history in a quagmire while confirming a straightforward interpretation of Genesis. The research team investigated the amount of diversity among today's human genes and how long it took to reach the current amount of diversity. They concluded that human genes diversified recently. The authors wrote, the maximum likelihood time for accelerated growth was 5,115 years ago. This is a tiny fraction, 0.2% of the 2.4 million years of humanity that evolutionists suppose. The explosion of human genetic diversity has occurred in parallel with and because of human population growth. With each new person comes another opportunity for DNA differences to arise, either by design genetic shuffling processes or mutations. The headline in the December 29, 2012 issue of Science News reads, Human Diversity's Recent Explosion. The subhead reads, most genetic variation came about in the last 5,000 years. End of quote. The more science looks into the invisible, the more the facts shout yes to God's holy Bible. Keep in mind that God is invisible and He created all out of that which is invisible. They always end up here. Back to the God Said, Man Said feature. Now consider this headline from the May 2013 issue of Acts and Facts. Is mankind getting dumber? Several paragraphs written by science writer Brian Thomas follow. Do today's children have lower IQs than yesterday's? Yes. According to measurements of intellectual and emotional strength gathered from different countries and contexts, the results show the same basic decline and resist the notion that public or other forms of education are to blame. Could the cause instead lie within? Stanford University professor Gerald Crabtree thinks so. He published a pair of essays in the journal Trends in Genetics, citing new discoveries that show why the human intellect is surprisingly fragile. The biblical creation-friendly notion didn't sit well with the authors of a rebuttal paper who countered that the human intellect is robust. What lies at the heart of this disagreement? Bad science or bad assumptions? Crabtree identified two fundamental processes as the main culprits. First, human intelligence uses neurons, and these cells can only function properly if their genes stay in top shape. Second, these genes are susceptible to degradation. This loss of organization occurs continually as mutations slowly, irreversibly garble genes and the resulting errors pile up and are not corrected. Each new generation accrues about 60 new mutations to the gene-coding DNA regions of the human genome. Crabtree applied this rate to calculate that every 20 to 50 generations, we should sustain a mutation in one copy of one of our many ID genes. As a result, in the past 3,000 years, the N to 120 generations, each of us should have accumulated at the very least 2.5 to 6 mutations in ID genes. Accordingly, the human intellect perhaps reached a peak 2,000 to 6,000 years ago. This appears to confirm three lessons that can be drawn from the Bible. First, Adam and Eve's brains were originally very good. Second, we had our best brains about 6,000 years ago. Third, humanity has suffered genetic degradation since then under the curse, end of quotes. Accumulated mutations also point to a very young Earth. Again from God Said, Man Said. The headline of the November 2014 feature of Acts and Facts, written by Jeffrey Tompkins, who holds his Ph.D. in genetics from Clemson University, reads, "Genetic Entropy Points to a Young Earth." The bulk of that feature follows. One of the most important finds in recent years comes from modeling the accumulation of mutations, genetic code errors, in the human genome over time using computer simulations. Researchers found that this buildup of mutations can only reach a certain level before the genome completely deteriorates and humans go extinct. This process of degradation, called genetic entropy, fits perfectly with a recent creation of 6 to 10,000 years ago. Two recent research studies performed by secular scientists support genetic entropy. Their data were based on rare single nucleotide variation observed in the protein coding regions of the human genome. Over 80% of this variation was associated with the genetic entropy exhibited by heritable diseases. Because protein coding regions are less tolerant of mutation than other parts of the genome, these regions give more reliable historical genetic information. When scientists typically evaluate human genetic history, they incorporate hypothetical deep time scales taken from evolutionary paleontology to calibrate their models of DNA change over time. In other words, they assume millions of years and literally build deep time into their models. In contrast, these new studies use demographic models of human populations over known historical time and geographical space. The resulting data showed a very recent massive burst of human genetic diversification, mostly associated with genetic entropy. One author stated, "The maximum likelihood time for accelerated growth was 5,115 years ago. This places the beginning of the period of genetic decline close to the Genesis flood, when the Earth began its repopulation through Noah's family and humans rapidly diversified." Amazingly, the recent explosion of human genome variation, mostly associated with genetic entropy, also fits the same pattern of human life expectancy rapidly declining after the flood, as recorded in the Bible. One more key piece of genetic data demonstrating a recent creation comes from ICR scientist Dr. Nathaniel Jeanson, who examined the mutation rates of DNA in the cell's mitochondria. The mitochondria is a small organelle that resides outside the cell's nucleus. Mitochondria contains its own DNA molecule separate from a creature's main genome. Mitochondrial DNA is typically inherited from the creature's mother, and its mutation rates can accurately be measured to produce a molecular genetic clock. By comparing rates in a few very different animals, Dr. Jeanson demonstrated that a creation of not more than 10,000 years ago is confirmed by these genetic clocks. The results of these genetic studies fit perfectly with the predictions of a young Earth creation time frame, but make no sense when millions of years are added to the mix. The clock simply cannot have been ticking that long. In the case of humans, Adam and Eve were originally created with perfect error-free genomes, no mutations present. Then sin entered the world, and the whole creation became cursed. The human genome has essentially been on a downhill slide ever since. We are not gradually evolving better genomes. Instead, the recently measured degradation patterns and rates clearly match the biblical model and time frame. End of quote. They always end up here. Finally, from Genetic Biology in 6,000 Years Again. The headline of the article published by www.niainih.gov and recently brought to the attention of God Said, Man Said by a servant of the Lord reads, "Life Expectancy of the Human Race." Most of that feature follows. Today we know the average person, if unimpacted by serious physical trauma and or diseases, will live for about 90 years. The cause of death for such a person is usually listed as old age, i.e. senescence. In biological terms, such a death is the result of the gradual loss of genetic information in your DNA over time. Once the loss and corruption of a person's DNA reaches a critical mass, the person dies. Scientists are now asking a more strategic question. What is the life expectancy of the human race given the negative cumulative impact of mutations, replication, errors? This is a reasonable question because mutations, replication, errors are accumulating in the human population as a whole and are then being passed from one generation to the next. How many generations of humans can be produced before the collective human genome wears out? To answer this vital strategic question, a team of geneticists have compared DNA sequences in succeeding generations of Icelanders. These geneticists found that children in Iceland have an average of 63.2 mutation replication errors that are de novo. De novo means neither possessed nor transmitted by their biological parents. Mutation expert Alexey Kondroshov reviewed the Icelandic study and agreed with the findings of the authors. He also suggests that the accumulation of mutations replication errors in the human population is causing an increase in genetic disorders such as colorblindness and schizophrenia and autism. Kondrashov writes, "Plainly, human DNA sequence quality is relentlessly worsening." Based on the Icelandic study, if we assume the first generation of humanity had no or zero errors in their DNA, then on average, the members of the second generation would have had about 60 mutation replication errors in their DNA. And members of the 200th human generation, about 40,000 years later, would have an average of 12,000 mutation replication errors in their DNA. Members of the human race now average about 18,000 mutation replications in their DNA. It is estimated that when members of the human race reach an average of 21,000 mutation replication errors in their DNA, the human race will be at critical mass and will no longer be able to procreate, reproduce at survival levels and will quickly go extinct. End of quote. Harmful mutations and replication errors are occurring at a rate of 3,000 per 1,000 years. When the number reaches 21,000, which the writer calls critical mass, life as we know it is over. Stem to stern, mankind will have existed for 7,000 years. If so many evangelical Christians are reading the scriptures correctly, the return of Jesus Christ in the clouds to receive his church unto himself is very close, and shortly after follows the battle of Armageddon. After Armageddon, Jesus Christ sets up his 1,000-year reign upon the earth. 6,000 plus 1,000 equals 7,000. Is science once again knocking at the door? End of quotes. Why do some in the faith question the plain reading of the scriptures which declares a very young earth? Is their wavering a result of diligent search or scientific facts, or is it the wavering a result of a constant barrage of evolutionary theory dressed up as science? The answer is in the latter. As you have already deduced, this feature addresses the age of the earth. There was once a Tower of Babel. The world once spoke one common language. Because of man's rebellion and his motivation in the building of the Tower of Babel, God confounded the language of man, and there at Babel the diversity of tongues began. God's critics vociferously challenge, but these issues are established beyond doubt. Several features on God said, man said address the Tower of Babel. This particular feature is primarily focused on God's creation narrative and the basic age of the earth, albeit the principle of one common language will once again be certified. According to the Scientific American May 2016 issue, nearly half of the world's population, presently speaking in over 400 languages, finds the one common root of their language in a mother tongue called Proto-Indo-European, or PI. The title of the feature written by M. Balter is Language Wars. An info brief at the beginning of the feature reads, "Nearly half of the world's population speaks one of the languages derived from a single ancient tongue dubbed Proto-Indo-European, or PI." Linguists have long argued that PI first spread from the vast steppes of Central Asia to Europe some 6,000 to 5,000 years ago. An alternative hypothesis posits that PI spread some 8,000 years ago from what is now Turkey after the introduction of agriculture into those regions, end of quote. Keep in mind, when reading the excerpts that follow from the feature, that evolutionists claim 2.5 million years of evolution, yet the spread of language began just thousands of years ago. Again from Scientific American. Why do such geographically diverse languages use similar words for the same flower? All these tongues, along with more than 400 others, belong to the same family of languages, the incredibly far-flung Indo-European language family, and have a common origin. Indo-European languages, which include Greek, Latin, English, Sanskrit, and many languages spoken in Iran and on the Indian subcontinent, are the most dominant linguistic group in the history of humanity. Everyone agrees on one key point. The Indo-European languages descend from a common ancestor, a mother tongue called Proto-Indo-European or Pi. But as to why this particular language produced so many linguistic offspring or where it originated, there is no accord. Researchers have fallen into two warring camps. One camp, which includes the majority of traditional linguists, argues that Central Asian nomads who invented the wheel and domesticated the horse spread the mother tongue throughout Europe and Asia beginning about 6,000 years ago. The other camp, led by British archaeologist Colin Renfrew, credits early farmers from more than 500 miles to the south in what is now Turkey with disseminating the language at some point after they began spreading the agriculture know-how 8,500 years ago. In the early 20th century, German prehistorian Gustav Kosina proposed that a group of Central European settlers who created intricately engraved pottery called corded ware starting 5,000 years ago were in fact the first Indo-Europeans. Kosina argued that they later spread out of what is today German, carrying their language with them. Other researchers also found evidence to support such a view. In 1989, David Anthony began working in Russia, Ukraine, and Kazakhstan, focusing on horse teeth that have been earlier excavated by Soviet archaeologists. Anthony and his colleagues confirmed previous suggestions that there was bit wear on the teeth, dated as early as 6,000 years ago, pushing back the earliest evidence for horse domestication and horse riding by about 2,000 years. Their studies also provided evidence to link several technological developments, including the use of wheeled vehicles such as chariots, to the Yamnaya people. These finds supported the idea that the steppe pastoralist had the necessary transportation and technology to fan out rapidly from their homeland and spread their language in all directions. Moreover, although Gray and Atkinson found that the initial spread of Pi tracked the spread of farming, they also detected a second divergence 6,500 years ago, which led to the Romance, Celtic, and Balto-Slavic languages. The Anatolian and steppe hypothesis need not be mutually exclusive, they concluded. Will we ever know who is right? New evidence from ancient DNA for the spread of the steppe peoples eastward into Siberia around 4,700 years ago could potentially overcome one of Renfrew's key objections to the steppe hypothesis, but it offers no proof about which languages went with them. End of quote. They always end up here. But for the redeemed, this is the place to begin, and it all happened 6,000 years ago. God said, Genesis 2:19, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." God said, Genesis 11:1-9, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Man said, biblical fairy tales like God creating man 6,000 years ago, intact with a full vocabulary, or the Tower of Babel and man's one common language are deserving of scorn. No one with a modicum of intellect would yield to such foolishness. Now you have the record.